And welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. When we think about San Antonio, there are the usual places that come to mind. You know, the Alamo, the Missions, the Riverwalk. But there are so many other locations that are just as awesome but not as well known. And these are San Antonio's hidden gems. And we want to hear about your hidden gem, a favorite place. Maybe there's a special memory there, something famous happened or historic happened right there at that location that many people don't know about. Why don't you call us up and tell us about it? The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And here to talk about the hidden gems of the city, John Dyer. He is a photographer. His work has been in Time Magazine, Newsweek, Texas Monthly. He authored a book of photography called San Antonio Treasures that, if you have it, it is a San Antonio treasure because it's been out of print and is one of these things that never shows up at half-price books. And also joining us is author John Philip Santos. His books, Places Left Unfinished at the Time of Creation and The Farthest Home is an Empire of Fire. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thank you.
So, John, tell me about this book of yours, Hidden Treasures of San Antonio. It is a coffee table book. It has got a foreword by Phil Hardberger, photographs of some of the iconic locations of San Antonio, not the ones that many people often think about. You know, and so when did it come out?
2009.
So it's had a time. It's been out there. I mean, I've heard about it. I don't have a copy. But it's one of these things that you just – it doesn't float around. Like, it doesn't show up. If you have a copy, you hang on to it, and that's it.
This book took 30 years to do, or 30-plus years to do. I came to San Antonio in the late 1960s to go to Trinity University and immediately started traveling around town with friends of mine that I met at Trinity that were from San Antonio to start with restaurants and bars and things like that. But I quickly began to realize that San Antonio is a special place. It has interesting, unique, sort of quixotic places all over town. And an idea began to percolate in the back of my mind, and it took 30-plus years to germinate, that I wanted to somehow do something about preserving these locations. And over time, I took pictures. I took pictures of the Municipal Auditorium, for example, back in the 70s. I think it was in the 70s, right after it had burned and then been redone, and began to kind of collect these. And I kept thinking, I want to do something with this, and would reach out to this person or that company and never really got much traction. And about 2008, I wrote a letter to Charles Butt. I thought, I'll just go to somebody that loves San Antonio, he loves photography, and I'll go ahead and pitch him the idea. And I wrote him a letter, and he wrote a letter back to me, and he said, you need to see my people. And one thing led to another, and they commissioned me to do this book, and I used a lot of the photography that I'd already done, and I did additional photography, and it was my chance to cover San Antonio north, south, east, and west, and find these places and record them, because it's a moving target. These places come and go. They're places that I wish I had gotten that are now gone. Some of the places in this book are changed or gone, and so. But you got to start somewhere.
All right. So, Nate, give me a couple of examples. What are some of the hidden treasures of San Antonio that are hidden treasures? People don't normally think about these locations.
The ghost tracks. The ghost tracks down off South 410 is a place that lives in the mythology of San Antonio, where, according to myth, a bus full of little children was hit by a train. Sometime, it's unclear when, and it's unclear who saw it. But now, particularly on Halloween, you can go down and park your car in the middle of the tracks, and especially if you dust your trunk with baby powder, and the car will mysteriously move across the tracks and out of harm's way, and you get out and look, and there are little tiny handprints on the trunk.
That's pretty creepy. All right, so John Philip Santos, give me a hidden gem of San, and then we'll go to some phone calls.
Well, you know, I mean, I think when we think about San Antonio, we have to remember this is a very old city. It's a city that's rooted in the epic of Mexico as well as a city of the United States. So it's a city with rich history that's overlaid in these places. And, you know, among all of those places, maybe the preeminent one is the river itself, the river which is today a kind of, you know, simulated version of its past glory. But The Blue Hole on the campus of University of Incarnate Word is its source. And you can go that, to that place. It's got an almost mystical presence to it, a kind of shimmering blue pearl that gives forth the water that then makes its way through the town. There's some beautiful spots in Brackenridge Park, especially there near the Whitty Museum. But as you follow the river and sort of jump over the Riverwalk, John has a beautiful picture of the Blue Hole in his book. You get down to Espada Mission, and you see there the old Espada Aqueduct. And that connects you to this earliest history in, when San Antonio was this, it was an emerging settlement fusing the mestizo culture that was part Spanish, part Indian. And that aqueduct has this mystical quality as well, because it sort of brings you back to the origins of what has become a modern American city with this very deep underlying history. So the river is a place that you can find all kinds of little stories associated with it along the way, you know. And then all of us who are longtime San Antonio residents, we have our own stories that are overlaid on the city. So places that have specific importance, specific place in our family histories. In my case, there are two spots, tragically, where my grandfather's body was found in the San Antonio River at Roosevelt Park, 1938, and another spot where my father was killed in an automobile accident, a place that I pass almost every day. So anyone who has a long, rich history of San Antonio has these places we can go to that connect us to the oldest part, the oldest story of the city, but then we also have these very profound places where personal experiences have connected us to this history.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones. I get a couple of listeners to chime in here. Alice has called in. Alice, thanks for calling up. And what is your hidden gem of San Antonio? Tell us.
The old Denampa Bar on West Commerce at 244 West Commerce has been changed into the San Antonio Eatery with the help of some visual artists and poets. David Zamora Casas and Victoria Garcia Zapata Klein are hosting a series of events there. But the building itself is from the 1880s. It's limestone. It's just historical and lovely.
Alice, thank you for that call. And she brings up a great point that not always are these locations on the decline. We see a reuse and rediscovery and revitalization with some of these places that are here. I'm going to get Gary called. He's called in. Gary, welcome to The Source. I know you want to talk about the Blue Hole also, but tell us your story about the Blue Hole.
The Blue Hole was one of the places that when I was very in my 20s that I used to swim into, and I managed to get down into the bottom of the cave where the water's coming out, and I saw this freshwater prawn that was about the size of a New England lobster. And it's kind of sad, though, right now the waters are not flowing, but we do know from a scientific effort that the Blue Hole is in a 4,000-year-old rock art painting called the White Shaman Panel. So the history of the Blue Hole goes back thousands and thousands of years as far as, you know, it being a resource for culture and a resource for inhabitation.
John, Gary, thank you for that information. Appreciate your input here. Let's get John on the line. John, welcome to The Source. Tell us about your hidden gem of San Antonio.
Yes. Well, mine's on some private property. It's in a neighborhood, I believe, called Ingram Hills. And basically, if you go down Ingram Road, just inside the Loop 410 for a little ways until it comes to Broadview, you take a left, and then you take a right on Freeman Street. And if you look to your left, you drive a little slow, you'll see like this beautiful, what looks like an alpine village or something. It almost looks like it belongs in a putt-putt golf course, and it's in someone's yard. And from what I heard, it was built by somebody that used to carve prosthetic limbs back in the 30s and 40s here in San Antonio for his wife in Germany. And it's just a kind of a little surprise to see off the side of the road.
Yeah, we see a lot of it. John, thanks for that call. We appreciate you bringing
that. There's a place like that on Ridgewood Street between Vance Jackson and West Avenue. It's a house that has an extraordinary chalet of birdhouses. Just there must be hundreds and hundreds.
There are a lot of people
houses.
In San Antonio. They've allowed their their minds to kind of allow them to do things like the Barney Smith's a toilet seat museum in Alamo Heights.
Yeah.
That's something that someone posted on Facebook when we asked the question, "What's your hidden gem of San Antonio?" They brought that up. So we're going to go to break, but we're going to continue this conversation. This is a great chance to discover San Antonio through the radio. It's a chance for you to share your stories and your favorite places of San Antonio. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And this is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. Listening to The Source on KSTX, I'm David Martin Davies. I'm joined with John Philip Santos in the studio, along with John Dyer. He is a photographer. He had put together a book called Photography of San Antonio called San Antonio Treasures. It's been out of print for a while, and if you've got a copy of it, I'd recommend that you'd hang on to it because it is a San Antonio treasure in itself. And it's been out of print. And so any word, John, about getting it reprinted, republished?
No. It was commissioned by HEB. They printed enough to sell for 1 year. They printed 5,000 copies and sold them and have decided not to reprint. I've tried several times to convince them to reprint because I continue to get requests from people every week almost, two or three requests. I want 5 copies. I want 10 copies from my friend in Germany or somebody that just visited here. I used to live in San Antonio. This is great for birthday presents. Our company wants 50 to give out for gifts. So it would be lovely if we could get it reprinted, but right now there doesn't appear to be any plans. You know, I'm reminded from listening to your callers that a book like this could be 2 or 3 times as thick, and listening to John Philip, that there are so many places in San Antonio. We're blessed to live in a city which, as you say, is a nexus of all these cultural influences and cross currents, and it's left physical artifacts, restaurants, bars, grottos, the Blue Hole, the aqueduct, and to compile them all, I think would be a lifetime project, and one would be a fascinating project.
I would like to mention as a hidden gem for me is Our Lady of the Lake University on the west side and how it is
It's my mom's alma mater. So.
I think a lot of us were dragged there as little children. My mom went there when I was a kid. And, you know, when you see in awe, you stare at the architecture. And we almost lost it with a tragic fire about 5 years ago. And it's great that it has been restored, thanks to, in part to so many of the great leaders of San Antonio contributing. But it's got fantastic gardens there, places to study, and it's a great cultural nexus to have for that part of San Antonio. So let's get some callers on the air. Lance has called in. Lance, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My hidden gem would be Pump House Number 1 on in Brackenridge Park at the
it's a beauty.
Yeah, go ahead, Lance.
Yes.
So yes, sir, you're on the air. Pump House Number 1, is that at the golf course?
No, actually, you're thinking of the Borglum Studio, Pump House Number 2. This, Pump House Number 1 is actually located close to the, Donkey Barn up in Brackenridge Park?
Yeah.
It was the pump house that George Brackenridge bought from Lacoste, who had it built, and it was the first time that San Antonio moved away from the Acequias system to provide pumped water to people that subscribed and had little bibs, pipe bibs put in their front yards. It was our first move away from that open air water system.
Right, and Pump House Number 2 on the San Antonio Golf Course, you mentioned that was the studio where the Mount Rushmore was designed and created the model for that.
Got some Borglum Studio, I think it's informally called.
Yeah. All right, Lance, thanks for those observations. We appreciate your input. Let's get Mike on the line. Mike, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, and I just wanted to mention that at Fort Sam Houston, it used to be a cavalry base. And everybody from Black Tech, Pershing, all the way to Eisenhower served in the cavalry there. And there's a cemetery on the far western corner, not far from Brackenridge Park, behind Playland Park, where there are human-sized tombstones carved about famous chargers that were in this battle or that with their age, and some of them burned up in barn fires, and also that the oldest living horse at the time in a cavalry was 40 years old, and his name was Pat, and he was part of his tombstone is there also.
Wow, that's pretty great. I had not heard any of that. So, John Philip, is that new to you?
Yeah, that's astounding. You know, I mean, there are a lot of these places that are tucked away, some completely unmarked and unknown to us. My wife just texted me to remind me of this place we went to with a friend who came from Princeton University for this world-class museum of early cinema that's on Austin Highway, the technology of early cinema. It's in an old – it's Jack Judson, a local entrepreneur who has assembled the world-class collection of the earliest cinema technology, the earliest projectors and zoetropes. And it's in an old motel that's been fenced off on Austin Highway. It's, all that marks it is a giant sculpture of a cinema camera in the front parking lot. He opens it only by appointment. He had some of it on exhibition at the Witte not too long ago, but the place itself is just astounding to get in there and just see these objects. It's just amazing.
Wow. Okay. Joyce has called in. Let's get Joyce on the line. Welcome to The Source, Joyce. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I was calling to find out if you knew about the, it's a house, it's actually a building behind a house. The house faces, the residence faces, Porter Street, and this building faces a little side street called Mittman. Anyway, this house, it's basically a facade of the building that's behind it, and it's all these different colored stones. The masons that did it also put little round rocks in the mortar that holds the stones together. It has little nichos all in the facade of that building, but at the very top, there is a great sculpture of Geronimo, and I understand it's San Jeronimo, and it's just a beautiful little building, and when I talk to people about it, nobody has ever seen it, and sometimes I drive by there just to take pictures of it because it's so cool.
Do you guys know this place?
I know it.
No. Yeah. It comes close to the Urrutia estate, yeah, which is over across the street from Incarnate Word, that has a lot of sculpture that's still there. The estate is long since gone, but it sounds a little like there's some sculpture there of Guatemoc.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
with his fist raised.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
Joyce, thanks for that call.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Sure, certainly. Goodbye.
And our phone lines are open. If you want to call in real quick, we'll get you on the air. The number is 210-614-8980. If you've got a hidden gem of San Antonio, we'd love to hear about it. One place is the Denham Park, which is off of Magic Drive here. It used to be the old, what we'd call when we were kids, the Midget Mansion.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's a city park, and it's beautiful there, and it's got a Korean...
like a pagoda or like a stupa or a temple there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that is something that is very quiet.
A little pond
there, water feature. That it's, if you don't know it's there, you're not going to find it, but it's
and then new landmarks like Angel Rodriguez Diaz's obelisk at the Glorieta, the roundabout on Fulton and Blanco. It's illuminated from within every night, but it's an obelisk and has kind of nature imagery in it. It's really gorgeous.
Right. So, John Dyer, with your book, I mean, if you don't have any copies left over, I mean, how do you get a copy if it's out of print and people don't release it?
You don't.
It's a black market out there.
I've got two copies, and I'm not going to. I gave quite a few away, but I'm keeping my last two copies because as of right now, there won't be any more. You know, I wanted to make a comment about this discussion. We are blessed with all of these little hidden out-of-the-way places in San Antonio, and we need to somehow or other figure out a way to hang on to them if we can.
Yeah.
A point I made a little bit earlier is there are some places that I discovered 30, 40 years ago, Hip's Bubble Room. I don't know if you remember that down in McCullough near the Metropolitan Hospital, which was a watering hole and absolutely unique in every way, and it's gone. And I could make a list of quite a few places like that I wish I had gotten. The Conservation Society needs to have a tip of the hat here because they're doing their best to isolate these places and name them and hang on to them if they possibly can. We're very lucky to have an organization like that in San Antonio that values these places.
Okay, let's get another caller on the air. Yoletta has called in. Yoletta, welcome to The Source. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, My grandfather has always told me a story about, I think it was called maybe the Alamo Ice Company, a huge company that made ice on the west side, and that their runoff water that was very cold, of course, went through the San Pedro Creek, and they used to dam it up. The kids, all the kids, this would be during the Depression era, they would dam it, and they would swim through it summer after summer after summer in this wonderful cold water. And I'm wondering, is there a factory? Was that a factory?
That's a great story.
But there were San Pedro Springs. They were very cold.
Yeah, the springs were cold when that ran.
They always swam in the springs because it was wonderful. There were like six of them, and they had one bathing suit. So they'd go one after the other.
Lots of skinny dipping going on.
But they would say there was a train that ran near that dropped fruit, so they always got bananas. Then there was somebody who would give them the bottom of the barrel, the chicharron, and they had enough money for a loaf of bread. And they would get it, and they would eat it all together, and they would splash around this part of San Pedro Creek that they dammed up with that cold river every summer.
Yoletta, that is a fantastic story. Thank you for sharing with that great images. It certainly is a memory worth preserving, and thank you for sharing it. And we're out of time. We've got to have more conversations like this on the air. It's a great opportunity to talk about our city, have this sense of place on the radio, be able to share memories, build up this appreciation for San Antonio. I want to thank our guest author, John Philip Santos. His books, Places Left Unfinished at the Time of Creation, The Farthest Home is an Empire of Fire. And also John Dyer, he is a photographer. His work's been in Time, Newsweek, Texas Monthly. He has this book. If you got a copy of it, hang on to it. Texas, San Antonio Treasures. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in. Have a great day.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.